Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding if you will. The protocol, please usher our mother. Will receive with joy and gladness. You'll keep clapping until she comes up. The next voice you'll be hearing after mine will be that of our mother in the Lord, Mommy Funke Felix Adejumo. Someone who is grateful, continue clapping until she's up here. Keep clapping. Don't stop clapping. Don't stop clapping. Don't stop clapping. We are a house of honor.
Thank you. Oh, be lifted. Above all other gods, everybody lift your voice. Oh, be lifted above all the Ancient of Days, the God that is old but not old-fashioned, the God that is worthy of our praise, the changer of destiny, the rewriter of history, God in three persons, mighty, marvelous, good, kind, great, amazing. Give him praise, he deserves it. Give him adoration. There is no one like him. We thank you, Jesus. We adore you. We magnify you. For you are glorious. And worthy to be praised, you are the Lamb upon the throne.
Oh,
This morning I declare that the great God that we are worshiping here will be unusually kind to you. He will do you good. He will give you your own laughter. You will sing your own song. And before this year ends, you will dance your own dance. If you believe it, let your amen be louder than your neighbor's own. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hands above your head and give the Lord Jesus a big hand, a big hand, a big hand. Let him hear your clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, music minister. It's an honor to be a part of what God is doing in this generation. And I want to give him all the glory and all the praise and all adoration. I also want you to help me celebrate the angel that the Lord gave this vision to. A man of great grace and integrity. It's once in a generation you have men like this. Solid. Apostle Joshua Selman. This generation honors you. We thank God for you. We celebrate you. And we pray that the Lord will preserve you. Proverbs 4:18, the Message translation. The longer you live, the brighter you will shine. You will finish well. You will finish strong. In the name of Jesus. It's an honor for me to be sharing this platform with you today. And I do not take it for granted at all. All of you that celebrated him, you will have many reasons to celebrate. I thank God for our Father and the Lord that blessed us yesterday, Baba Adeboye. What a gift of God. And Mama, we thank God for them. We thank God for all the servants of God in the house today. Please be seated, everybody. The era of lone rangers and the kingdom is gone and gone forever. We thank you for collaborating with us. The Lord bless you all in the name of Jesus. I bring you greetings from my husband of 41 years. Thank you. Those of you that are ladies, may God give you a man like my husband. A man that will let you serve Jesus. A man that will allow you to fulfill your destiny. Handsome and wealthy and anointed. Please celebrate my husband, Bishop Felix Adejumo. Thank you. Our home is blessed with many children. And our first child is here with me on this trip with his wife. He will be turning 40 in 2 weeks. Reverend Dr. Adejumo, we honor you and your wife and the team from the United States of Akure. The Lord bless you all. Pastor Ayomegbope, I honor you too. Thank you. This morning, the apostle has instructed me to speak on affecting generations. And if you are sharing a platform with Apostle Selman, you know you need prayer. But if you now have to share on his platform, you need more prayer. So pray for me very, very well. This morning, I'm going to be reading from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. We're going to be traveling through 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And I want to assume that there is nobody here that has not read or come across the story in 1 Samuel, chapter 17, from kindergarten, from Sunday school. Well, let's see as the Holy Spirit lays hold on us today and takes us through this scripture. King James's version. The Bible says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Soko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Soko and Azekah. This scripture is very interesting in the way it started. The Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. Every time you see a problem, God is about to show up in a big way. There is always an advantage in every disadvantage. And as I'm privileged to minister to you today, when I make a statement that requires you to say amen, I want to remind you that amen is not an encouragement to the preacher. Amen is the acceptance of a divine verdict. No matter who gathers against you, they will scatter. That amen is under construction. Whoever gathers against you, tangibly or intangibly, whether you know it or not, shall fall for your sake. Isaiah chapter number 54 and verse number 17. Isaiah 54, 17, the Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I condemn. I stand upon the authority of God's word today, and I decree that no weapon formed against you or yours or your ministry or your business or anything that has to do with you shall prosper. There are some of you that the reason you have not been able to move to the next level is because of the tongue of men. People that should have helped you. Encounter people that hate you or people that dislike you. And they use their mouths, their tongues to scatter your integrity, your character. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse number 18. Jeremiah 18, 18. We know that prophecy cannot fail. We know that the Lord, nothing you can do against it. But let us smite him with the tongue. Everyone smiting you with the tongue, today we bring the judgment of God upon them in the name of Jesus. Because there is no way you can affect generations if you are ill, if you are not well. That's the reason the Holy Ghost is allowing me to minister to you first, so that you will not pollute the generation you want to affect. Whatever is distracting your destiny, whatever is afflicting your destiny, since the devil made the mistake of allowing you to come to this convention, this is the beginning of the downfall of that thing. I want your amen to be louder than your neighbor's own. It is amazing because the Bible says that the Philistines gathered in a place that belonged to Judah. That place did not belong to the Philistines. That place belongs to Judah. Whatever belongs to you that you have not been able to access, as God's word comes during this convention, we declare an open heaven for you. Remember, you need your mouth. So make sure that your amen, because the angels of God are here. This is called a general assembly. And if you look at the book of Hebrews, you will understand what that means. A angels are here. We're not here all by ourselves. So when you say amen, they are ascending with whatever you say, and then they are bringing down answers. Whatever you've not been able to access, today we declare open doors on your behalf. And then the Bible goes on to say that it was the armies. We are back in 1 Kings chapter 17. Armies. I have a degree in English language. And a nation does not have armies. In English language, you have Nigerian army, British army, American army, not armies. And the Bible is talking about a nation here, the Philistines, a people. So why will the Bible say armies? And this is also repeated in subsequent verses, speaking about the armies of Israel. When David was going further down to fight this battle and win generations and affect generations, he spoke about armies. So what does that mean? The battle in 1 Samuel chapter 17 was not just physical. It was a combination of the spiritual army and the physical army. The spiritual army and the physical army. That's the reason words are important. Because when David was going to handle this situation, he recognized that Goliath had polluted the atmosphere with words. So, David did not just run towards Goliath with a sword. David first spoke. I love wrestling. Wrestling is my favorite game. And when Undertaker shows up and he's saying, "Today I'm going to kill you. Today I'm going to dismantle you." Triple H also comes out and declares words into the atmosphere. Words are weapons to fight and win, to affect generations. And that's the reason in the place of prayer, the Lord laid it strongly on my heart to lay this foundation about words. And I stand in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to decree that every negative word flying around your destiny will reverse the effect. We're just warming up. Every negative word fighting against the destiny of Nigeria, we reverse you in the name of Jesus Christ. Every negative word fighting against the destiny of Africa, in the name that is above every name, we turn it around for the good of Africa. If you believe it, I want you to shout a bolder amen. As we go on in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says there was a particular man, a Goliath. Thank you. A Goliath. that represented the Philistines and began to intimidate the armies of Israel. I don't want us to go back into the story of the giants, you know, the Goliaths and all that. No, we leave that for another day. He came out and for 40 days, he was intimidating Israel, including Saul and all the soldiers. And this man will show up and say, let us fight. I'm representing a generation. Choose you one man. Let him also fight with me. If I kill him, you serve us from generation to generation. If he kills me, we serve you from generation to generation. And for 40 days, 40, nobody could handle him. He messed up the generation. He messed up the children of Israel. Nobody had an answer. And then I love what the scripture says. After describing the threat and what have you, the Bible says, and now David. Now David. Now David. A generation was about to be born from that point. Now, David. And there are some of you here today that this convention is about raising you, pouring into you, investing into you, and sending you to go affect positively, not one generation, but generations. If you are one of them, I want you to shout, it's me. I'm taking you on a journey this morning. Please follow. Now, David. And I'm going to open your eyes and share with you the four categories of people in 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm just laying the foundation. Four distinct sets of people in 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm going to address each of those groups. And then we pray. Whether we like it or not, whether you are online or you are on site, life is divided into four. Because life is not lived by years or in years. Life is lived in seasons. You have your morning, you have your afternoon, you have your evening, and then you have your night. I'm in my evening. In few weeks time, I'll be 63. Once you are 50, you have begun your evening. Once you are 70, the night is knocking. That's the reason you cannot afford to joke with any season in your life. Psalm 1 and verse number 3. He shall bring forth fruit in its season. No matter how fantastic Pella was, there was no way he would have been able to play football in every season of his life. Anybody that succeeds in wasting your time has succeeded in wasting your season and therefore your destiny. You cannot afford to waste any. Now, David. Those of you in my age bracket, I'm glad to announce to you that there is a move of God that has begun in Nigeria. It's spreading across Africa and the entire world. Buttons are changing hands. It is a relay race. We are not abandoning the old generation. No. We are building on the foundation of the apostles. But the reality is this. Nobody lives here forever. Start assessing your season and stop wasting it. There is a crop of a younger generation that God is raising. He prepared them when they were beside the brooks picking 5 stones. Stones, 5, representing grace. Because there are Goliaths whose heads must be cut. Goliaths that escaped the past generation. We are actually dealing with 3 generations. So when Apostle said I should speak about affecting generations, we are dealing with 3 generations. We are dealing with the generation of our parents, the structured generation, generation of Baba that ministered yesterday. I told Apostle, I said, Baba now has left the realm of preaching. People like that, they are no longer preaching. Who do they want to impress? The structured generation. There's a lot on that, but I don't have the time to dissect it. And then we are dealing with the handover generation. And then we are dealing with the transition generation. The handover generation, my generation, we got it from our fathers. We are handing it over, or we handed it over to you, our children. And then you are just a transition generation. Because if Jesus tarries, you are going to hand over also. Nobody lives here forever. Now, David, there is always a now in the program of God. Any old generation that does not align with what God is doing in our world today will expire. Stop judging this generation and calling them names. Some of them may be rude and arrogant, but it is a questioning generation. Our parents' generation, my generation, based on labor-based generation. This generation is knowledge-based. Knowledge-based. When I hold my iPhone and I don't know what to do, I speak to my children. That's next generation. And there are people that live and generations remember for evil. Delilah, Ahab, Jezebel, even Samson, waster of grace. And there are people that live and generations remember them forever for good. I want you to begin to choose how you want to affect your generation and with what. This next generation, this new generation that I'm talking about, I'm going to address you in a few minutes. And I want you to listen to me as a mother that got born again 47 years ago, whose mouth has drunk all kinds of waters for the gospel's sake, who has risked her life with alongside many others because of the gospel. We didn't just get here. We were cooked. We did not just get here. We were cooked. If you're not jealous, that's a good place to clap. We were cooked, not like the way you cook Indomie. We were trained, invested into, And that's the reason we talk about, according to Judges chapter 4 and verse number 4, and then Judges chapter 5, we talk about the Deborahs. Now talking to the ladies. And then we talk about the Jaels. Deborahs, a prophetess, a woman, a judge, that had the palm tree. It takes a lot to have a palm tree, to nurture it, and to make it old enough for people to come under it and be judged. Every part of the palm tree is useful. There is no part of the palm tree that is useless. The palm tree has gone through storms, beaten, bashed, boasted, but it's still standing. Unshakable, unsinkable, unstoppable. And then we have the Jaels. Jael does not have a palm tree, just like Deborah does not have the tent. Inside the tent, you have the mantle with which you are going to suffocate Sisera. Inside the tent, you have the hammer. Inside the tent, you have the milk. It takes time to produce milk. It takes time to produce all these things. That's why in Judges chapter 5, even when Jael did not eulogize herself, Deborah rose up and said, "Blessed among women is Jael." We're almost getting to the core of the message today. Blessed among women. Those of you that are Deborah in the fivefold ministry, either by age or by grace, please don't eat up your Jaels. Let them also rise. Let them shine. Create time for them. Invest into them. Because the child you nurture will nourish you in the evening of your life. 1 Kings chapter number 1, beginning from verse 1, the Bible says that, "And David was old and he was cold." It is the child you pour into now that will take care of your cold in the evening of your life. Nurture the people that are in your life. Nurture your David. There's a Goliath that must be killed. Nurture your Jael. There's a Sisera that must fall. Don't eat up your followers. Don't waste their loyalty. And those of you that are in this generation, honor your Deborah. Honor your Samuel. Stop using us as toothpick on Facebook. Stop calling by name the people that had been serving the Lord before your mother got married. Not to talk of having you. Because you can never attract what you attack. Never. Stop dishonoring the people that have paid their dues. Stop using your mouth or your fingers so that you too can last. Now, David, we are aware, we are conscious that there is a rising generation. There is an army that is rising. But the truth is, if there was not 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 1, there wouldn't have been 1 Samuel chapter 17. If there was no 1 Samuel chapter 16, there would be no 1 Samuel chapter 17. Somebody held your hands when nobody wanted to touch you with the longest of poles and put investments into you. I got born again as a young Baptist girl. It was my music director, my choir leader, that led me to Jesus. And he followed me up so well. Put my feet on solid structures in the Bible. I take care of him every month. And recently I said to him, sir, even if you don't win any other soul, I'm enough a star on your crown. Till you see Jesus, you will not suffer. Because you made me escape hell. Clap for my Father and the Lord. There is a generation that is rising. And when we talk about affecting the generation, we're talking to both the old generation and the new generation. It must be mutual. Don't ever in your life bang the phone on your mother or your father. No matter what you become, you can change your mind, but you cannot change your history. No matter what you become. Hello mommy, I'm just too busy. Bam. Honor thy father and mother and it shall be well with thee and thy day shall be long. So let's flip it. Dishonor them. That's the reason the angels will say, subtract 13 years from his life. It's too rude. And when I talk about your parents, I'm not just talking about your biological. Your biological is number one. Number two, your spiritual parents. Number three, your adopted parents. Number four, your destiny parents. People that took their time to raise you. It's a generation that you, the new generation, must affect. As the old generation affects positively the new generation, you also must affect us. David came, and then David says, what shall be done to the man that kills this useless man? And as soon as David showed up, I told you I want to speak to you about four groups of people in this scripture. The first group I want to talk to you about today, the unanointed, the Eliabs, and the Shammahs. The unanointed. The first group in that scripture. The Eliabs and the Shammahs. We have them in our world today. And we will have them till Jesus comes. I want to break it down in a little way. And in case you are an Eliab and you are here today, listen to me also. Unanointed. Eliab. They don't understand how spiritual things work. Some of them are not even born again. So let me start from there. Maybe you came because you heard that we have a family meeting here. You came because you saw our poster. Somebody gave you a flyer. We're so glad and so honored to have you. And we're not judging you, we're just saying the beginning of a great journey of destiny is with being born again. Forget about whoever has bastardized that word or those words to be born again. John 3:16. If you read the entire book of John, you have to be born again. You have to give your heart to Jesus, and it will be my honor when I'm done with this sharing today, to invite you to Calvary. That is the starting point of your life. The unanointed, the Eliabs. Some of them are your family members. They just don't understand why it is you that God lifted. So when David showed up and he was asking questions, Eliab came up and said, hello, hello, hello. Who did you leave the sheep with? I know the wickedness in your heart. I know, and some of you are here today. You have them in your life. Some of them are residents. They can be your siblings. They can be your schoolmates. They can even be the men that slept with you before you got born again. And now they notice that God's hand is upon your life. And they are wondering, can God ever use you? What are you talking about? Can I shock you if you're an Eliab here? God does not consult my past to determine my future. Micah chapter 7. I love the Amplified Version and I love the Message Translation. Every time you repent, when you repent of your sins and God forgives you, the Bible makes me to understand in Micah chapter 7 that God throws them into the ocean of forgetfulness. And then he says, he puts a signpost there, no fishing. Stop! Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. I'm not saying you should continue to live in sin, no. But I'm saying that your past is not what determines your future. If God were to mark iniquity, none of us here would be able to stand. Your mate in school. One day I was preaching at a wedding and some people were arguing. Could it be, I don't think she's the one, no. I don't think she's the one. When I heard, I said, I'm the one. John chapter 9, I'm the one. We may be age mates, but we are not grace mates. I'm the one. Don't judge me by my past. Look at the book of Matthew chapter number 1. And it will shock you in the lineage of Jesus. The kind of women that God decided to choose. Don't let any Eliab shut you down from fulfilling your destiny. We know you. They judge you. They misjudge you. They misinterpret every action of yours. They try their best to remove honor from your life. They want to delete whatever they can delete from your life. We know you. You cannot affect generations. If God should show you the video tapes of the past of the person sitting beside you, it will shock you what you will find out. And we're not just talking about fornication or sexual sins. There are some of you that when you see people, we thank God for you. We bless God for you. But when you turn, you know the kind of evil you say about them. Don't tell me that adultery is greater than that. For the heart is desperately wicked. Unanointed. And I want to encourage you today. Stop throwing stones at every dog that barks on your way to destiny. Elevated people, we always be criticized by frustrated people. If they have not done or they are not doing what you have done, they have no right to criticize you. I'm not saying you should not listen to feedback, but some people are evil. They just want to weaken your hand. Sambalat and Tobias of life. If a fall should land on this, it will fall. Unanointed. They were not there when you paid the price, or when you were paying the price for the anointing. They were not there when you were making investments into the kingdom. They were not there when you were paying your dues. The Bible says, and God did not listen to Balaam. Stop wasting your time on Eliab. David responded and moved on. In the book of John, Luke chapter number 13, there was a woman, the Bible tells us, that she had been burned for 18 years. And when Jesus healed her, the Pharisees came and they were saying all sorts of things. That woman did not bother to respond to the Pharisees. She kept on praising the Lord. She kept on enjoying. It was Jesus that replied her. Some of you, you are wasting your time replying your Eliabs. Go and affect your generation. When I speak about affecting your generation, maybe I should chip it in here. In the entertainment world, there's a generation waiting for you. We don't even like the way they dress on TV. Go there. In politics, go there. One of the men of God sitting here today, we're talking about his country recently. Some of you are condemning government, condemning this, condemning that. What are you doing about it? Pray till tomorrow. Condemn till tomorrow. If God has called you to go and affect a generation in politics, go get a card. Christians, it amazes me when I go online and I see the way some, maybe some of you are here, or some of you online, or some Eliabs attack pastors. I shake my head. If you propose to a girl and the girl says no, it is pastor. If your car does not start in the morning, you must go online to abuse pastors. If something is wrong with your head, it's pastor. Hebrews chapter number 5, beginning from verse number 1. We are also human. And can I shock those of you that abuse us? And I'm speaking on behalf of the body of Christ. Quote me. Can I shock you? If you know the volume and the value, the quantity and the quality of what the church is doing, you will shut up all your mouth. You will shut up all your mouth. I'm here as an example. This is the 27th year that I have been taking care of lepers. You that are abusing us on the internet, which leper have you taken care of? By reason of privilege, I know what Mama Adeboye does. By reason of privilege, I know what Apostle Selman does. Pastor Nab has cooked in our house before just to help people. You that you are abusing us, what have you done? If Chevron does not give you a job, it's pastors. If there is traffic, it's pastors. The one pastors have been talking about, do they listen? Why don't you go to your politicians or go join them and change the situation? Eliabs. Yes. I had a word for you and I have delivered it. And let me shock you. Since you have been abusing us, do you notice that the more you abuse us, the more we rise? Have you noticed? This is our first convention. Can you see this crowd? Can you gather this? The more you abuse us, the more we rise. Because God, anytime he wants to take the measurement of a man, for Samuel chapter 15, when thou wast small in thy own sight, he doesn't put the tape rule around the head or the body. He puts the tape rule around the heart. God sees our heart and he knows that we are laboring. Eliab, shut up. I'm here. This generation is here to bring down the head of Goliath. Goliath in politics. Some of it is in the education. There's a school God wants you to start. Go and affect your generation there. Some of you, fashion designers, go and sew correct outfits. Some of you, it is a Greek. My husband is big in that area. Go get a land. You cannot tell me that you graduated 5 years ago and you are still roaming the streets. You don't have a job. Show me one country in this world, one government that can adequately take care of everything that you need. Create jobs. Some of you, you have visions on your inside. Go and affect your generation using that. By God's grace, I have written and published 123 books. My books are on Amazon. My books are on Sila. Affecting generations. There are books on your inside. You may never hold microphone. as FFA, I didn't start with microphone. I started with broom phone in church. Broom. I was sweeping. And I still sweep in church. Even though my husband and I pastor thousands of people, I still sweep in church because it was broom phone I was holding before Jesus gave me a microphone. Go and affect your generation in that area. Don't wait till you have the pulpit ministry. And those of you that are here and you are trying to help God flash. God, please call my husband. Call. Hello, God. Let us start original Koinonia International Fellowship. When God has not called you, because you need someone to carry your shoes, carry your bum, carry your bag. You are joking. You may never hold the microphone. Go and affect your generation in that area. You are brought here so you can be invested in, so you can be poured into, and so you can do what God wants your destiny to fulfill. Let's move to the second group of people. The ex-anointed. Number one, the un-anointed. Eliab. Number two, the ex-anointed. And I'm talking about Saul here. You need, as you go on your journey of destiny, please listen, you need to be careful of the following people. Number one, expired mentors. Number two, jealous colleagues. Number three, parasitic proteges. Be careful. Relationships do expire. If you say you are my mentor and you stop following God, I will stop following you. We met on this earth. Let God be pleased, no matter who is offended. Stop slaughtering your destiny on the altars of expired mentors. Ex-anointed. When God anoints you, it is your responsibility to put principles in place to be preserved. For example, anointing does not handle adultery. I just said what I said. Adultery does not answer to anointing. You know your strength. You know your vulnerability. You know your weaknesses. The Bible says flee. If the most anointed man, Samson, whose life began in Judges chapter number 13, if his life could be wasted on the platform of adultery, who are you? The Bible calls Abraham the father of faith. My dear, you are a brother of faith. When Sarah said to Abraham, do you want to go into my maid? Abraham did not argue. Abraham said, where is she? Where is she? With all the anointing. Don't tell me you are anointed and you are alone, always alone with the opposite sex, whether you are male or female. Anointing may be dropping like this. Your zip too will be going down. Don't tell me as a minister of the gospel, you know your weaknesses and your closest person is a woman aside from your wife. Adultery does not answer to anointing. There are some of you here. We're not talking about pride today, but let me chip it in. You are a married man. When your wife calls you, where are you, sweetheart? Or where are you, baby? Or where are you, darling? You say, excuse me. You cannot be controlling me. You cannot be manipulating me. Uncle, the day you will get lost, nobody will remember you. They say that's how he goes. He has gone again. You are not accountable to anybody. It's one of the greatest and shortest ways of becoming ex-anointed. When your heart shifts, you can no longer wet your makeup before God. You can no longer acknowledge God. There are pastors, ministers that no longer have quiet time. Don't worry, in my second session, you'll be more excited. I'm happy that you are quiet. This is what God laid on my heart. Ex-anointed. There are things that sap the anointing. Number three, the anti-anointed, Goliath. We have them everywhere. Anyone plotting against this country, we stand upon Psalm 109. The Bible says, because he does not delight in blessing, blessing shall be far from them. Everyone that is in the ministry of kidnapping, terrorism, from Maiduguri to Kwara, from this to that, will curse you as a church in the name of Jesus Christ. The name of this gathering is General Assembly. So we are well represented here. Everyone that is benefiting from terrorism in Nigeria, we curse you from generation to generation. As those old women are trying to flee from their lives, as those small children are running, as those people are being killed, their blood will speak against you in the name of Jesus. Everybody scream a big amen. Anti-anointed. They hate the gospel. We're preaching to you, we are laboring. We're telling you about the gospel on social media, through tracks, through radio, through television. And you think the next thing is to be slaughtering us? You want to go to hell? Go alone. You don't want to accept Jesus as your Lord. But stop wasting us. From today, the blood of Nigerians repel your lives. Whoever you may be, politician, whoever you may be, that is slaughtering our people, this moment during General Assembly 2025 will curse you. Mothers curse you. Fathers curse you. The tears on the family's faces curse you in the name of Jesus. All the anti-anointed. And then finally, number four, we have the anointed, David. And in my second session, by the grace of God, I'm going to be pulling back the curtains to look at the life of this man. After the Lord Jesus is my favorite character in the Bible, the anointed. The anointing is not cheap. It's not cheap. There's a threshing floor for it. God is not a blind promoter. There's a price you pay. The anointed. But look at the mandate in this passage. When David was speaking, David said, what shall be done to this man that defies the armies of the Lord? What shall be done to this Philistine? This is the mandate in 1 Samuel 17. And I'm wrapping up now. And David spoke, verse 26, 1 Samuel 17, 26. And David spoke to the men that stood by him. Whoever is putting those scriptures on, the Lord bless you. I owe you $100. Whoever is in charge of this scripture, you are too anointed. David spoke to the men that stood by him. Minister Victor, please collect it from me to give to the person. David spoke to the men that stood by him saying, look at the mandate. What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? That's the mandate. That is the mandate in this scripture. Taking away
the reproach from Israel. I heard Apostle Selman say, God does not call you and send you. God calls you, he makes you, then he sends you. This is the purpose of the anointing. I want to be like Selman. I want to be like, the purpose is to take away reproach from Israel. Whatever represents reproach, poverty, infertility. People cannot pay their school fees. They can't pay their house rent. They are leprous. All sorts of things happening. The grace that you carry, this is the purpose. If it does not remove reproach, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 30, they that honor me, I will honor. But they that hold me in light esteem, you see, that's God. You don't honor him. They that dishonor me, they that despise me, I will hold in light esteem. This is the purpose of the anointing. I went on a mission trip to Uganda some time ago. And we were traveling. The road was so bad. I know some Ugandans are here, so they will know what I'm talking about. And thank God, MTN works everywhere. So I picked my phone and I called my husband. I said, darling, in case we don't meet again, I am in the valley of the shadow of death. Stop envying my makeup. Stop envying their cars. This is the purpose. This is what it means to affect generations. To remove reproach or reproaches. You look at someone that should have been that is not. My fellow Christians, Christianity is not just about clapping and singing and causing traffic jam around your church. Salt of the earth. Light of the world. This is the essence of this gathering. Like Baba was telling us yesterday. You receive the anointing. You receive the grace. You make connections in politics, in ministry, in business, in education, in our Greek, in the fashion world, in tech, to remove the reproach. Who is reproaching God in your circle? Who is being reproached around you? This is the time to stand up. Let me confess to you, this is one of the reasons I went back to study law. And for your information, I'm in my last final year. Yes, studying law. By God's grace, I've preached from Genesis to Revelation. I've been to 5 continents of the earth. And I'm still young. So I said to myself, if you don't want to listen to me as a preacher, you will listen to me as a barrister. Then we meet in court. There are dreams on your inside that can help. Thank you. The jealous ones are not clapping. Thank you. There are dreams on your inside that if you run, you pursue to fulfill, you'll be removing reproach. And then I close with 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 37. David said, the God that delivered me from the mouth of the lion and the bear. The testimonies of yesterday are for the battles of today. The testimonies of today are for the battles of tomorrow. The God, verse 37, the God that delivered me. Psalm 103 and verse number 1 beginning. There are things we should not forget. When it was a quarter to shame, the God that delivered you, he's still on the throne. And I know we're in Abuja. Those of us that live in the western part of Nigeria, this is Abuja. And we speak to our brethren in the north. Some of the people that are abusing us, they don't even know what we are sending to the north privately. Because we don't publish it online. We want you to know that we are praying for you. And that according to Psalm 20, help is coming. in the name of Jesus Christ. In this first session that I'm privileged to share with you, this is what the Lord laid on my heart. Go affect your generation for good. And let Jesus alone be glorified. And love him with all your heart. By the grace of God, in the second generation, I will speak on what the apostle also gave me an instruction to speak on. Meanwhile, can we all rise up in honor of the only monarch of the universe, Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of glory? Let's adore him. Some of you, you need to rededicate your heart to Jesus. Some of you, you need to be born again. Some of you, the oil on your head is becoming stale. You are polluting it. Some of you, you need another touch. As we pray this morning, wherever you are, I want you to come very close to the altar. Either you are rededicating your life, or you want to give your heart to Jesus, or you want to hand over and say, Lord, here am I, use me. Please, ushers, help us to open the gates so the people can find their way before the Lord. I just want to pray for you, whether you are one or you are two or you are three, it does not matter. You want Jesus to please take over your heart, or you know that God has been calling you, putting you in ministry, and so many things have been hindering you. Today, I want you to come and receive grace. Run wherever you may be. Here am I, Lord, use me. As the Lord wants somebody, here am I. I want to affect my generation for Jesus. Run here. We are not waiting. Don't walk psychedelically. Run. Either you want to give your heart to Jesus, or you backslid. You want to rededicate your heart to Jesus, or you know God is calling you to ministry. Ministry of help. God is calling you to the supernatural. God is calling you to help people. You are in business, and the Lord is saying, the reason I'm putting money in your hand is so that you can be a pillar in the body. Run. God is waiting for you here. Mayabo shate legrega santa yabo. Lord Jesus, we come before you. We come before you, Lord. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. My lifetime, I will give God my life. When I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me. Keep coming. Give your heart to Jesus. Rededicate your life. Rekayemo, we destroy the yoke of sin. We destroy every yoke. It is you and God. Apostle.
I will give God my life.
Please welcome Apostle. Keep coming. Keep coming.
I will give God my life. When I give God my life. He will take care of me. He will never let me down. I will give God my life. When I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me.
You're still running to Jesus. Keep running. The Bible says, as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. It was for you. This convention was held and put together. Keep coming. And for someone who is watching by television, you are following online, here's your chance to make it right with Jesus once and for all. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have life eternal. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Can we celebrate those who are coming, running to Jesus? Let's give them a big, big hand. Let's encourage them. 10 more seconds if you're coming. It's quite a distance, but it's worth your salvation. It's worth your relationship. Now, for those of us who are here in front, and for the many who are making this decision online, watching by television or anywhere across the globe, let me request that you lift your right hand, lift it high above your head, high above your head. Say this after me as loud and as clear as you are able to. Say, Lord Jesus. Again, like you are serious. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. I have heard your word and I desire to affect my generation. Right now, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life, and I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I also believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive your life into my spirit, and I declare that Jesus is my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From today, I am a child of God. I live for Jesus all the days of my life. Shout a loud believing amen. With your hands still lifted, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for these precious ones. Your word declares, as many who will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. This much have come declaring your lordship this morning, and we thank you. Based on the integrity of your word, we declare their sins forgiven, and we decree and declare that today begins for them a new season. In the name of Jesus, the grace and the empowerment to live victoriously, serving the purposes of the kingdom all the days of your life, we release upon you right now. For it is in Jesus' mighty and matchless name we pray. Now let me request that you do me a favor. All of you, would you look behind you? You'll find counselors who have been trained. Just move in concert. They will have a word with you for a few minutes, and then you'll be back on your seat to continue the session. Let's celebrate them as they go. Come on, Koinonia. This is not the best we can do. Can we celebrate them? Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Now, whilst they're on their way going, what do we say to our precious mother? I was so blessed. I'd like us to give Mommy Funke a big God bless you.